Manga Podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today we are brought to you by Groupon. Groupon features daily deals for the best stuff to do, see, eat, and buy in a variety of cities across the United States. Click the link at the bottom page or any of the banners on the site and go check out some Groupon stuff. While we don't offer any deals on the cool stuff to do, see, eat, and such, we do have clothing.
Yes. And it's on sale.
Yeah. So head over to deathstoreproducts.com/store and check it out. All our prices have been cut down to just the bare costs for production and to pay the artists, because those people need to eat. You know, contrary to what you might have heard, artists can't just survive on the trash outside of Starbucks and the sneering, looking down at people through their noses or something. I don't fucking know what I'm talking about. Sorry, I'm tired. Already off to a banger start.
Oh yeah, this is going to be a content-heavy podcast with no pudge and us watching nothing.
Yeah, this is kind of our last podcast before we go on break from podcasting. You know, for New Year's and Christmas and all that stuff, so that we actually have some time off, we can actually recuperate and watch a bunch of shit. So, yeah, we're pretty sure we're all just kind of at this point.
Yeah, especially us, because, we have to, oh, God, I have to have read a bunch of comics by this day, I have to watch anime by this day, movies by this day, games!
Yeah. Yeah,
we do everything.
We pretty much do everything, so we don't have a lot of time to do anything else. Yeah. But anyway, I'm your host, the Dead Man, Jeremy Dewey, and Bovion.
Hello.
Yeah, so, like I said, we kind of only both looked at one thing. So, yeah.
But I'm going to use mine to talk about other stuff, which I'm not usually allowed to talk about.
Yeah, so then I guess before we go off on that tangent, we'll stay on topic with the thing I checked out.
All right, what did you check out?
So, I read Judge.
And how is Judge?
Judge is... It's a lot like Doubt. So, for those who don't know, Doubt is one of, I have it listed on one of my favorite mangas section, and in the About Us staff section. And Judge is kind of a sequel to it, in that it has the same writer and artist and the same kind of theme, with a lot of the same symbols. So Doubt, what that was so in Japan, there's this stuff on the game people play called Rabbit Doubt, where everyone in a group is told they're a rabbit, but then one person in that group is a wolf, and then the people have to do some logic puzzles or something to try to figure out who the wolf is in the group and stop them from taking out everyone else. And so then one day, a group of people who play that game together meet IRL, and they'll get kidnapped. So they all wake up in an abandoned hospital or something, and they're told that, hey, one person among you is the one who put you here and is going to be killing you off one by one. And then it just goes from there, and it goes fucking insane, because it's Japanese, obviously. And then we have Judge, which has no returning characters from that, because I'm pretty sure they all died, or are on the run because they're evil.
Right.
Yeah, so anyway, so Judge, it starts out, so there is this kid named Hiro. He has a brother named Atsuya, who is dating Hikari. Hiro and Hikari are childhood friends, obviously. Hiro and Atsuya, they're brothers, obviously. And Atsuya is dating Hikari. So, you know, it creates some tension there between the brothers and between the two friends, because, you know, they're childhood friends in a manga.
Yeah.
Yes, but anyway, then one day, he runs in, Hikari and Atsuya, they set up a date for that night around 7, and then Hiro meets up Hikari later, and she drops her cell phone, so then Atsuya calls him, and then Atsuya calls Hiro, answers, and says, hey, just so you know, Hikari told me to tell you that the date, she wanted to change the date time from 7 to 8, and because of that change, his brother dies.
Interesting.
Yes.
I thought it was going to be he misses the date, and then she's mad at him, and womp womp.
No, she misses the date, and he misses the date, and he dies.
That escalated quickly.
Yes, then flash forward to a year later, where Hiro is now handcuffed in a bathroom with a giant bunny head on.
That escalated really quickly. Well, a year, but that's still...
Yeah, but over the time of the comic, it's like a second. Because like the thing is, like that intro sequence is actually Hiro dreaming about that, dreaming about the events that led up to his brother's death, while he is uncomfortable on the bathroom floor. So anyway, he gets out. He gets out of the room, walks towards another door, opens it, and it leads him into a courtroom, where there is a guy with a pig head on, dead. Just dead. So he starts freaking out, and then a bunch of other people show up. Two of them wearing cat heads, one of them wearing a bear head, one wearing a horse head, another person wearing a pig head, and one person wearing a lion head.
Okay.
Yeah, and then they get so take off the kid's handcuffs, and they see this weird doll thing sitting in the judge's chair. They find a videotape in it and play it, and then it says each one of you has committed like one of these seven deadly sins. You know, sloth, greed, wrath, envy, lust, gluttony, and pride.
So I'm guessing our main character is envy.
Well, envy or lust?
It's kind of both, but...
Yeah, because he is a rabbit.
That's true.
Yeah, like all of their heads symbolize, I'm guessing, their sin. Like the lion head is obviously pride. The pig head, I'm guessing, is either gluttony or sloth. But I'm leaning towards gluttony because the cat head could also be sloth.
Cats are pretty lazy.
Or cats could be wrath, like the fox. I have no idea what the fox is supposed to symbolize, or the bear, or the horse. Yes, yeah, so anyway, on the video, there's the thing, there's like a little doll that you found the tape in, and it says, hey, all of you committed one of these seven deadly sins, and so every 4 hours, each of you will judge the person, each of you will pick somebody, and that person will die. And you do that every 4 hours until only 4 of you are left, and those 4 will survive. Like those 4 will be allowed to live, and if unless everybody judges, they all die. So,
huh.
Yeah, if one person just puts himself in a bathroom and says, "No, fuck you, I'm not voting," everyone dies. And yeah, so this is, like I said, this is very similar to Judge. This is very similar to Doubt. In like the setup and the fact that like no one is sure who to trust, like no one trusts anybody. Anyone could be the killer. Like they actually find a note that says the executioner is among you. So one of the people in that group, like one person in the group of the 9 sinners, is actually killing everybody.
So they could actually vote them technically.
Yeah, they definitely could.
It kind of seems like it's it's like, what if Survivor were really, really interesting? Like, what if you threw death into Survivor?
Yeah, but it's very bizarre with the thing, because... So the way they vote is they don't actually have names on the voting things, just pictures of them with a button below it. But the pictures are easily removable and swappable, so you could easily, like, go around to every single person's podium and then move all the images around on their thing so that you can get them to vote for whoever you want to die. Which is actually what some characters do. Three characters whose names are... I have their names all written down here. Yeah, so Ryuhei, Hayato, and... Let's see here. Asami. Yeah, those are three of them. They all have banded together and formed an alliance. Because, you know, they're assholes. Like, Hayato actually gets a gun at one point. Now he's just threatening everybody to vote or he'll shoot them. Which doesn't really make much sense to me. You could just shoot 2 people and then there'd be 4 of them left and they could just all leave.
I think that's breaking the rules.
They never said you couldn't. Why would they give him a gun if he couldn't? You don't give a person a gun unless you expect them to kill somebody. Or themselves.
Yes, but everyone has to vote. If you shoot them, you're preventing them from voting.
Yeah, but it's like in the 4-hour things, it doesn't really say what to do. It just says do whatever. And if you just kill the like if you have like a group of people and you and the like a group of you decides, then it's pretty much a vote anyway.
Yeah, but you gotta always be wary of the rules of the game. You never know what you're gonna get punished for.
It never really said anything about punishment. It just said, hey, 4 you will live, the rest will die. Peace. But yeah, so far in the thing, aside from the pig guy who was already dead at the beginning, two of them have died so far. The bear and one of the cats. One died from... the bear, he died from, I think, poisoning. He locked himself in the bathroom. Locked himself in his bathroom, because his bathroom is the only one that has a lock on it. And he just is sitting in there, like, freaking out. Like, oh, God, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Like, please just leave me the fuck alone. And apparently he, like, stabbed his mom or something before he came here. So, it's possible he's Wrath.
Quite possible.
Yeah, I actually want to like try to break down and figure out what each animal's represents each sin.
Then we can figure out which one the main character is supposed to be, because he's either envy or lust.
Yeah, it's hard to say. People over on the Manga Fox forums, which is where I'm reading this, they've actually started like trying to break down who is who, like which animal is which. And yeah, it looks like they've been jumping back and forth between envy and lust for Rabbit. But the lion's always been pride, because you know it's a lion. It makes sense.
Yeah, the cat could be vanity.
Is vanity one of the 7 deadly sins?
Yes, it is.
I know it's so lust, gluttony, envy, wrath, sloth, pride, greed. Wasn't that one?
I believe so.
Yeah, so that's 7.
Okay, so vanity isn't one.
Yeah, I'm just going from the homunculi in Fullmetal Alchemist. Because they are all linear to the 7 deadly sins.
Yep.
Yeah, so the cats could be greed.
That would kind of make sense.
Yep. So lion's pride, rabbits, I guess, let's go with envy for him. Bear's wrath, cat's wrath, pig's gluttony, maybe. Or would the bear be sloth?
I think the bear's probably wrath.
Okay, yeah. This is getting way too complicated for this fucking show.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah, the manga's good. It's 16 chapters in. I'm not sure how many more chapters there are left, because Doubt had 20 chapters. By the time they got to, chapter 16, everyone but 3 people were dead. And in this one, only 3 people have died so far. And, one of them died really recently. So, I'm guessing we still have quite a ways to go on this. But it's still good. I still like it. I don't think it's as good as Doubt. Mainly because of... I think because of the premise. With the premise for the first one, it was just, hey, you play this game, and then you all got caught up in this really bizarre revenge plot, and everything went to shit. And it was really cool. But then in this one, it's like, hey, these people who have absolutely no connection to one another, you're gonna die.
Yeah, the first one you talked about, Doubt, is actually, it sounds like a better version of a North American movie.
Yeah, Cry Wolf, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Doubt came out before Cry Wolf.
Okay, well, Cry Wolf probably ripped it off, because Cry Wolf was terrible.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm actually expecting the same company to, produce a movie that's a ripoff of Judge.
Could happen.
Yeah. Yeah, but... Yeah, with Doubt, it had Like, I feel like the characters were a bit better. Like, they actually had some connection to one another. The reason behind everything that happened was insane and awesome. And actually tied into one of the characters that was involved. And it wasn't just some weird jigsaw thing. Which I have a feeling this is going to turn out to be. Unless they just go, like, super Japan and just make it fucking insane. But I'm wondering, like, everywhere I've looked, they said this is actually like a full-on sequel to Doubt. So I was wondering how that's going to be happening, because, like I said, there are no recurring characters, like no returning characters. No, it's not the same setup. It's not the same anything. It's just same artist with a kind of similar setup and the same rabbit head.
They could connect it somehow.
Yeah. Which, speaking of, I want that fucking rabbit head. It looks awesome. Like, it cosplay something.
I know why I thought of Vanity. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page on the Seven Deadly Sins. There are sort of sins that got added later. So there's really 9 deadly sins.
Huh.
Vanity and Acedia.
And what?
Acedia. The neglect to take care of something that one should do. So procrastination.
God. I know a deadly sin that I'm guilty of.
The list grows. If you're over 7, you know you're doing terribly. Or really, yeah, really well.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, counting the pig guy, there are 9 sinners.
Ah, so could they be trying to include the 9 deadly sins instead of the 7?
But the weird doll thing only listed off 7.
Oh.
Like, he listed off the 7, but there are 9 sinners. Like, there are 2 cats and 2 pigs.
Well, that's really odd, then.
Yeah, at least I'm pretty sure they're cats, because, like on the scoreboard in the manga, it said cats, but they look like dogs, and everyone on the forums are saying they're mice. So it's some weird cat-mouse-dog hybrid. And, you know, those are always fun.
I love hybrids.
Yeah, who doesn't? Anyway, yeah, so Judge, it's still good. It's got a really good art style. It's got a really interesting premise. It's setting up a really decent mystery to solve. And it'll probably have a really insane resolution that no one will see coming. But I'm going to love it. Maybe it'll involve hypnotism again. Ooh.
I'm guessing that's something they did in Doubt. Don't completely spoil the ending of Doubt for me, but...
Oh, I didn't.
I'm sure you didn't. I'm sure there's a lot more to it.
Yeah, believe me, hypnotism is a very broad explanation of the ending of that.
Yeah, it's a very broad explanation of the endings of a lot of things, unless the writers are really fucking lazy.
Yes, but anyway, Judge, it's good. I'm gonna keep reading it when it comes as it updates, because it's Doubt again. It's still good. So anyway, Bobby, what's the thing you checked out?
I decided to check out Helsing. Yeah, I didn't exactly go off the mainstream with this one.
Yeah.
But yeah, the one thing I did is I decided to check out the English dub before switching over to the English sub, so I could get a sort of a comparison between the two.
Okay.
The English dub, I honestly liked to a point. It's just that any of the characters who aren't, like, main, they are clearly Americans trying to do a British accent. And nothing pisses me off more.
Oh, man.
Well, a lot of things piss me off more, but it's very frustrating.
I'd imagine, some of those accents can get real terrible.
Yeah, and the one guy, it's supposed to be, like, you know, a higher-up, a businessman, someone from corporate or whatever.
Yeah,
he just sounds like a snivelly little bitch. and clearly an American trying to do a British accent.
Yeah, what about
Yeah,
so like, but with the main characters, do they get actual British people or just people who do really good British accents?
Either they do really good British accents or they are British. They're good.
Okay.
Notably, I didn't really watch for long enough to get everyone. All I really heard was Alucard and Integra.
Okay. But no Ceres Victoria or Walter?
No, I didn't hear them at all.
It's a shame. I like Walter.
And I know from watching just a video that Alexander Anderson's actually pretty good.
Oh, Anderson.
Yeah, but that wasn't in this episode. other than the voice acting, I like it. I kind of think Alucard manages to be an interesting character despite not being quite as entertaining as he is in Helsing Ultimate Abridged.
Fuck you, that's how.
Had to do it.
Yeah, you want to talk about a freak British accent? Yeah, fuck Ceres, dude. It's probably part of the joke, but still, that's horrible.
Yeah, it's kind of horrible on purpose.
Yeah.
But then again, if you did a convincing Cockney accent, no one understands you.
Yeah.
Believe me, I've got family who have the Cockney accent, and I cannot fucking understand them.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, it's entertaining. They seem to tone the blood down a bit. Bullets make things explode, though. That's good.
Yeah.
Like, to sort of a ridiculous extent.
Explosive tip rounds.
Yeah, Alucard does mention that his bullets use... his guns use explosive rounds crafted from a special silver cross.
His bullets are magic.
His bullets are vampire killy.
Some magic.
Yeah. The one thing I found weird, though, is there's... it almost sort of presents the whole Alucard-Ceres thing as a romance. And he, like, sees her for 10 seconds from across the room, and he's like, hey, yeah? I'm gonna shoot you in the lung now. Do you want to live or die? If you live, you come with me. It's your choice. And then there's this weird sort of romance-y, eyes-gazing moment between them right before he turns her into a vampire.
Yeah, some of that stuff is kind of hard to figure out with them. It gets really weird in the manga because, like, Alucard, he switches between, like, being Alucard and being a anime character.
Like, there's actually a couple... Yeah, it's kind of better if he just stays as Alucard.
Like, there's actually a couple bits where, like, his eyes actually turn, like, little black beads that appear above his sunglasses, and he, like, kind of turns into, like, a little bit super deformed.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it was like in the first, like, 3 chapters back when the manga was weird. But I'm guessing as the series goes on, it gets better at that. Like Ceres actually develops a lot more powers. Like, I saw one image from the manga where Ceres's, like, entire right arm turns into a giant scythe blade of blood.
That sounds pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, it really does.
So, yeah, based off this anime, there came the OVA series of Helsing Ultimate,
mm-hmm.
which was short-lived.
Yes.
But it's basically, like, just a retelling of the same story, but slightly different, sort of updated. And then from that came the wonderful Team 4-star piece, Helsing Ultimate Abridged.
Oh, it's so good.
Which, since we are low on content and pauses... so we're going to use much less time. I'm going to talk about.
Yeah. Because it's related.
So Alucard in this is a much more entertaining character. He's basically like a big kid.
Yeah. Not basically, he is a big kid.
Who likes to murder things.
Yeah, he goes for long, very enthusiastic walks in the moonlight.
Enthusiastic walks through the woods.
Yes.
He kills homicidal vampire priests.
Very enthusiastic walks. For anyone who hasn't seen this show, this is going to make absolutely
Police girl! Hey, police girl!
We do a lot of Team 4 Star jokes on these shows.
That's because Team 4 Star is awesome, and I really want to meet them one day, and they sometimes come to Con Bravo, so I'm going to Con Bravo! In the hopes that they will show up.
Yeah, oh man. Yeah, just... So from what little I've seen of the... like the TV show and for the manga, Alucard, they pretty much like flipped his personality from the show in Abridged. Like in the show, he's very he's very restrained unless someone like actually flips his shit. Like he's very cultured and dignified and shit. But in Abridged, he is just balls to the walls every time.
Oh my god, it's awesome, and he pisses off Integra so much.
Yeah, which is weird. It actually makes sense, but is a bit weird because it's the exact opposite again of the show. Like in the show, from what I've seen and read of the thing, Alucard actually has a supreme amount of respect for Integra.
And actually, he does the occasional thing to annoy Integra, like turning Saris into a vampire. But he overall, still does, she's all too happy to brag about Alucard instead of trying to hide him.
Yeah, but in this, he is just like, what do I have to give you to get you to stay down there for the night?
He's like their dirty little secret, and you wonder why he's working for them at all.
Yeah, but then he goes to Brazil and goes out in the public, and we see why.
But then again, that's doing what they don't want him to. But then again, he seems to spend most of his time doing what they don't want him to.
Yeah, which is why I went to Brazil in the first place. It's like, you must never, ever go to Brazil. Take the Frenchman and the police girl, bye. Just on a plane, listening to Pitbull.
He said he was going for a walk. God damn it!
No, it wasn't god damn it. It's like, he just left a couple minutes ago. He said he was going for a walk. No, god damn it! Just screaming in pain. At some point, you need to get Team 4 Star on a podcast, but... yeah, their shit is fantastic.
Any of them at Con Bravo, I will talk to them. Especially if I meet the guy who does the Alucard voice, I'm gonna be like, we have you on a soundboard.
Yeah, that's Takahata.
Takahata, okay. Oh, I love Takahata.
Yeah. So anyone who doesn't know Team 4 Star stuff, check out DBZ Abridged at youtube.com/Team4Star, Team4Star.com, and you can also check out Hellsing Abridged, which I'm pretty sure comes out once a year around Halloween.
Yeah.
You can check that out on Takahata's page. I believe it's on youtube.com/Takahata101.
While we're on the topic of Team 4 Star and Abridged, I haven't seen episode 31 yet, but let's talk about Dragon Ball Z Abridged, because normally we can't, and we are content dry.
Yeah, but these aren't really adding a lot of content. Like, Hellsing Abridged, what did that take up? Like, 2 minutes?
Shh, it had some minutes.
Oh, we're going to lose everybody.
Fine, let's just move on.
Okay. So, news.
News.
Yeah. So, first piece of news. A theme park based on Shonen Jump magazine is going to be opening in Japan in summer 2013.
Interesting.
Yes. Yeah, so the venue is going to be taking up the the theme park is going to be taking up the third floor, which is about 1.5 acres of Sunshine City World Import Mart building in Ikebukuro.
Oh my god! Oh my god! It's in Ikebukuro, and that building, I'm totally going to visit there when I go, and I'm planning to go there, and I'm planning a trip, and I'm going to if things go.
Oh god. So anyway, according to the floor plans that have been released, specific areas have been devoted to three very popular Jump series, Dragon Ball, Naruto, and One Piece. Oddly enough. DBZ and Naruto I can understand, but One Piece. It's one of the big three, but it's the third of the big three. So It's interesting they have that there. If you guys do go there, yeah, you're going to like, what, like if, and if you guys do go there and end up in the One Piece section, you're going to have no idea what the hell is going on.
We're going to avoid the One Piece section. I'm surprised they don't have a Bleach section.
Yeah, I know. It's bizarre. Well, then there's this other area that is labeled as the Heroes Arena, which will be having a rotating theme of different characters at regular intervals. So, yeah, that's cool. Going to be happening. Yeah, they didn't exactly specify a date when this will be opening up, but they said it's going to begin. This construction's going to begin in January, and it's set to open sometime in the summer. So, moving on. We mentioned this. So we mentioned that Project Versus J was announced or teased or whatever last week on the anime, like last episode of the anime podcast, and now it has been confirmed and actually given some details on what it is. So Project Versus J is an upcoming team battle fighting game, which will be coming out for the PS3 and PS Vita. And it could be featuring a bunch of shonen characters. So far, the game has Goku from Dragon Ball, Luffy from One Piece, and Toriko from Toriko. More characters will be rolled out as time goes on. And the game is going to be helping to mark the 45th anniversary of Weekly Jump.
Yes, and I believe we already talked about this, I think, on the video games podcast, but I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, the game looks pretty good, like, from the screens that they've shown, and I kind of want to play as Luffy. Just do Gomu Gomu no everything and throw it all in, I'm guessing, Naruto's face, because I'm pretty sure Naruto's going to be in this game, because, well, how could he not?
Yeah. Although I will note that there has so far been no single Naruto fighting game that I've liked. There's one that I was almost okay with until I got to one fight. I forget what it was, though.
Yeah, this is going to be a team fighting game, so it'll be different from that. I'm thinking it's... Like, from team fighting game, I'm thinking it's going to be maybe, like, the Capcom Versus series.
Yeah.
But we never know. So we'll be posting updates as we get more info on this, like with new characters, like anything like that we can find. But yeah, that's going to be coming at some point. And it sounds really cool. So we're going to our next piece of news. So, many things are happening to celebrate Metal Gear Solid's 25th anniversary. Actually, Metal Gear's 25th anniversary. But one of them is completely edible.
So...
It doesn't say on here who actually made it, but somebody made a Metal Gear bento.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, so what they did was they actually managed to like use the food and stuff to actually sculpt out the faces of Big Boss, Solid Snake, and Raiden. And they are all completely edible.
That sounds pretty awesome.
In fact, Hideo Kojima ate Raiden. Yeah, so the heads are constructed mainly from mashed potatoes. The hair is made with green onions. The bandanas and the clothing are made from seaweed. And the eyes are quail eggs and tapioca.
Interesting.
Which to me just sounds absolutely disgusting. Because I fucking hate all that stuff. But maybe someone out there likes it. Who knows?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like the greatest meal, but I would probably eat it.
Yeah. So then moving on to our next piece of news. Black Lagoon's manga is set to return January 19th.
Oh.
Yes, when the January 2013 issue of Shogaku Kan's Sunday GX magazine, it announced that Black Lagoon manga would be starting up again and in Sunday GX February issue. Rei Hiroe, who's the person who actually does the manga, announced the manga would resume either in January or February on his Twitter account on Monday. And the manga's been on hiatus for 2 years.
Well, that's a long time to come back from, but good on them for coming back.
Yeah, it really sucks. I really like the manga. I've been reading that, like, I've read all of that, and it'll be nice to be able to get continuing the stories. Actually seeing what the fuck happens, because I don't really like being shippers. I don't really like being a shipper because that just seems really bad. But I just kind of want Rock and Ravi to get together.
You know what? You always say that, but everyone's a shipper, man. To some extent, everyone is a shipper.
I know to some extent everyone is, but I really want those two to get together because I think they go well together. Like, one of them is so lucky that he never dies, even though he's always in these insane situations, and one of them is constantly trying to kill everybody. So they go well together. And that she'd always be trying to kill him, and he'd always live. Like, at one point, she actually does shoot him in the face and misses. Like, she had the gun up to his forehead, and she missed. And then they kissed cigarettes.
Okay.
It's not as dirty as it sounds.
It doesn't sound that dirty.
you just gave it, kind of. Okay.
Yeah, it sounds strange.
Yeah, they were handcuffed, and Rock was smoking, and Revy wanted to smoke too, but she couldn't reach her lighter, so they just used Rock's cigarette to light hers. It was a nice scene.
Oh, that's so intimate.
For them, it is.
I'm guessing most of the communication is done at opposing ends of a gun.
Not really. Most of it is she's yelling at him, and he's freaking out, and then he grows some balls and solves the situation. Because he is like a salaryman. He is kind of insane. Like I believe people have actually said that he is one of the most dangerous men in Radhapur. Even though he looks like a fucking salaryman. Yes, but anyway, final piece of news. A third season of the anime of the world God only knows has been confirmed.
Okay, I know nothing about that.
Yeah, so the world God only knows is focused on the story of Kimi Katsuragi, who is a dating sim otaku who gets drafted by a devil from hell named Elsie to help her recapture escaped souls who have broken out of hell. And so these souls, they like go into people's bodies and like fill an emotional hole in them. Usually they end up taking over women, like girls, and they all happen to be around Kama's age, so he has to use his dating sim skills to actually seduce them and fill the emotional needs that they have, which will then get the evil spirit to leave.
Okay,
but sometimes the evil spirits like do things like at one point they actually ended up switching Kama actually end up switching Kama and the girls' bodies. At one point they made one of the girls like 20 stories tall, but no one else could see that she was 20 stories tall. Only Kama could.
Did she still physically interact with things like she was 20 stories tall?
I don't know. It was weird. It was really weird because she didn't realize she was so tall. No one else realized she was so tall. Only Kama did.
Okay, that's a bit strange.
Yes, it is. So anyway, this thing comes from a leak from a Japanese anime news magazine that happened earlier this week, and another related project that was revealed is a spin-off OVA featuring Kanon, who is a character from the show, is also in the works. I believe Kanon is one of the girls who has a goddess living in her. Yeah, some of them have goddesses in them. It's a weird show.
Alright.
But it's still really good. I still like it. So what do you got that's going to be happening? So, that does it for news. Time for Anime Club.
Hooray for the Anime Club!
Woo! Yeah, so, I watched one episode of this week's anime.
Perhaps we should introduce what it is.
Yeah, but we want it, since it was your pick.
We watched Blood Sea this week.
Yes, we did. And I am thoroughly confused by it.
It is that way. It is completely confusing. It really doesn't explain much.
No, I'm not confused by that. I'm confused because of the fact that I read the series that preceded this one, Blood Plus.
Okay, and it doesn't make any more sense?
No, like, that series made some sense, because it was, you know, like, a girl named Saya who's a vampire hunter who uses a sword. And she's also half-vampire. But then we have this girl. They had this series where a girl named Saya uses a sword who to fight weird creatures who's also part who's like half vampire or something. But while they are essentially the same setup, like they even kind of like they look completely different. They have completely different personalities. They have completely different lives. So is this just like a running thing with the show where the main characters all going to be named Saya? Are they related in any way? Is this the same person just in a different universe? Like, what the fuck?
Well, I probably have both an advantage and a disadvantage of the fact that I didn't actually watch Blood Plus.
Yeah, I have all 5 volumes of the manga.
Yeah, and so I just went into this as a standalone series. Also making it confusing, though.
Okay, so I guess we should actually explain the series for people who don't know.
Okay, I guess I shall do that.
Yes.
Okay, so the series focuses on a character named Saya, and she is a shrine maiden, basically. Her father is the shrine priest, and she does go to high school like a regular kid, but she also has shrine duties and such. And we see she's sort of an aloof person. She's always running late for class because she gets distracted by puppies, and she's always singing to herself this really ridiculously catching song to which she can sing about anything.
Yeah.
She sings it in every fucking episode.
It was walking down the streets. Oh, such a nice day. I had food. I like food.
Yes, and she sings it all to the song, and it actually comes out really well. She's actually really good at, I guess, creating music on her feet.
Yeah, improvising.
Improvising.
She'd be a good jazz player. Because jazz players a lot of improvising.
For those she has a pretty normal life with a quiet small town high school. And then about halfway through the episode, we see that she's about to do some shrine duties. And her father hands her a sword and she goes murders a monster.
Yeah. You know, as you do.
And that's a couple of the episodes go this way. Episode 2 is almost the exact same setup. It's sort of like there's half of it's that slice of life, and then the other half is killing monsters. And they're very separate, but as the series progresses, they kind of start to cross over until finally in episode 5, spoiler alert, one of her friends from high school is over after she passed out in the classroom. After her teacher was telling a scary story, which is actually the origin story of the monsters, which she passes out, interrupting her teacher from finishing it, which pissed me off, because it's like, oh, you can finally explain the spot point? No? Okay, I'll wait. there's actually a monster attack while her friend is over.
Ah. So is this one of the girlfriends or the chairman?
It's one of the twins.
Ah, the one of the twins, okay. Yeah, twins are fucking annoying.
Whom she knows the difference between.
Yeah, the twins look exactly the same. They are literally mirror images of each other. Like, in the opening sequence and even in the show, there are bits where they actually start doing, like, mirror moves to each other.
And they will speak at the same time, or speak in a way that is unified.
Yeah, like, it's like they are legion. But yeah, it's kind of the same problem that I had with AKB-0048, where they have that really annoying high-pitched anime voice, but it's in stereo now.
Yeah. Luckily, they're not in a lot. They're not in the series a lot. You don't hear them a lot.
In the first episode, you do.
Yeah, but after that, they take a lot less of a role. I'd say the character she interacts with most is the guy at the cafe, the Gimov Cafe.
Yeah, who is her neighbor, I guess, who gives her free food.
Yeah.
Every day, multiple times. Because, you know, that's how you run a restaurant.
And in one episode, she says she loves him, and it's not really specified whether that's romantic love or familial love.
Yeah, I have no idea who the fuck that guy is. Like, I saw him in the first episode. His head looked way too small for his body. He just kind of smiled. He kind of smiled, closed his eyes, and tilted his head to the side, and then she left.
Yeah, we see him a lot more, and he gets some character development. The one thing, though, is because it's the Gimov Cafe, he sometimes makes Gimov, which is a sort of marshmallowy thing, but apparently softer.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes in cubes. if you watch Death Note and you're wondering what those little pink cube things are that L is pouring chocolate all over, that's Gimov. And anyways, so the one thing that bugs me is he makes her Gimov on several occasions, and it's constantly changing sizes. He will always give her two cubes of it, only sometimes one cube fits in her mouth. And sometimes one cube barely fits in her hand. And the coffee cups, too. Like, he'll pour someone coffee, and it's a tiny little, like, espresso cup. And when they go to drink it, it's a full-size coffee cup. Apparently, size permanence is not... or size continuity is not important with food.
Fuck no.
The fight scenes are kind of cool, though. Okay. And there's some interesting creatures that come up in it. I mean, what was the first one? The first one's pretty much just like a statue, right?
Yeah, it's like a Buddha statue. It's like a weird statue with a scarf on it that somehow grows mantis limbs. Which, so that's the other thing really bugging me with the first episode. So, for a good chunk of the fight, she is like trying to slash this monster with her sword. And she's just bouncing off, just going ting and ting, ting, because it's stone. And, you know, that must do wonders for the blade. But that's beside the point.
It's a magic vampire blade.
Yeah, but she keeps hitting them at certain points just over and over again, and they just keep going ting, ting, ting. And then at one point, just all of a sudden, she doesn't even activate her vampire powers. She's just able to cut off his arms by slashing at those exact same spots she was slashing at before.
Yeah, I noticed that too in the first episode, and it did bug me.
Yeah, and then when she...
luckily they don't do shit like that again.
Yeah, and then when she was going to like finish him off, so he stretched out his neck to try to kill her, and then she like saw a weak spot, managed to stab the sword in there really quickly and get a hit on him, and then he threw the sword away. But then when she actually goes to finish him, she hits him at a part that's completely stone and just slides the sword in as slowly as she can. I was like, wait, so you kept slashing him there and nothing happened, but then you slowly stab him there and it works?
Yeah, once again, that's an inconsistency that luckily doesn't continue, but it is annoying in that episode, for sure.
Yeah, like in the original in Blood Plus, it was consistency because she wasn't just because the girl wasn't Saya wasn't just fighting monsters. She was fighting, I think, these things called shikanthropes, essentially ghouls.
Okay,
like if ghouls were a bit more if ghouls were a bit more baddie. She was essentially fighting those. And the reason that she was the only one who was able to fight them with her sword, it was because they needed it, because like the sword on what they do is she like actually cuts her hand on the sword, and then her blood gets infused into the blade, and then her blood is the only thing that can actually kill these things.
Awesome.
Yeah, so with her vampire powers and her like slashing and shit, she's pretty much the only one who can stop them. But with this, it just seems give anyone who's good enough with a sword a chance, and they could possibly take this guy down.
Well, she does somehow need to activate the magic vampire blade. Like, it won't just come out of its sheath. The fangs have to unlock.
Yeah, she, like, flicks it, and then it unlocks.
They also just unlock on their own sometimes when she grabs it, so it might be that they respond to her vampire-ness.
Maybe, but then give it to another vampire. Or just get her to open the sword and give it to someone else.
Yeah.
But either way, like, it doesn't exactly give a... like, just from the initial impression, it doesn't exactly give off the feeling that she is the chosen one who will save us from the monsters. It gives us, like, the thing that the old motherfucker, like, her dad, is just kind of an asshole that wants to put his daughter in danger because he's too... but because he couldn't be bothered to go fight off by himself.
She's the only person nearby who can really do it. I don't think he's physically capable for some reason, but I digress. So yeah, one thing I did find kind of cool was the designs of all the monsters, so I'm just going to do a really quick rundown of them.
Okay.
So in episode 1, we have the stone statue thing. Episode 2, we have... what was episode 2? It's this weird plant thing. It's a weird plant thing, sort of like a Venus human trap.
Does it sing?
I don't think so.
Does it go, feed me?
No, no, it does not. Now I get the joke you're making. In episode 3, it's a train.
A train?
Yes. It's a train that has rapey tentacles on the inside that rape people to death. Well, they kind of grab people and rip them apart, and then it eats. And then it can also, it also turns from a train into sort of just like a giant, weirdly elephant morphy thing.
Okay, for a second there, it kind of sounded like they were ripping off panties talking with garter belt.
Episode 4, we get a Zapdos with muscle arms. Seriously, it looks like Zapdos, but it's got muscle arms. And it's got some minions.
So it's Zapdos crossed with Geodude?
Exactly. I was sitting there just making jokes of like, Zapdos use seismic toss. It's super effective.
Yeah. Sai uses pathetic flail of vampire blade. It's not very effective.
And then episode 5, we actually see two creatures. I don't know how to describe the last one. It kind of seemed generic, but we didn't get a very good look at it because it was just at the end of the episode. But then the other one is an eyeball woman. So like instead of a head, she has an eyeball.
Oh, that's nice.
And then just like ocular nerves going from the bottom there. And she fights with a staff and creates fog.
Okay, and yeah, again, like in the original thing, it was, she was fighting vampires. Vampires, that's it. In this, it's, she's fighting just, she's fighting things that were rejected from other anime that had monster in it.
Anyways, like, there's some
look out a statue.
There's a subplot going on about some covenant between the monsters and the villagers that was made, but we still haven't found out what that was. Because everyone mentions it and then never actually says what it is. Like, one of the monsters will say to her, she's like, what's the covenant? No, I'm gonna fight you now. Like, great, thanks.
I was like, what's the covenant? Oh, fucking blarg.
The teacher's telling the story. She's about to say what the covenant between the humans and the monsters was, and suddenly Saya faints, and so she stops.
Oh. You see, another thing that was weird, so in the first episode there's this one bit where the teacher is like talking and then Sai just has like a little flash of something where it's like there's like weird bells and blood everywhere and stuff. Does that happen a lot throughout the rest of the show?
She has weird visions, but never that one again.
Okay, because so again, going back to Blood Plus, Sai kept having visions like that, but it was Vietnam flashbacks. Literally, she was in Vietnam. Even though she's a high school student. Like, she was in Vietnam fighting people and, like, killing everything, and then she, like, came back or something. And there's some guy with, like, a demon hand and a cello who runs around with her.
Yeah, interesting.
Blood Plus was weird.
Blood Sea is weird. There is one other complaint I really want to bring up.
Okay.
Is that Sai's motivation seemed to be a lot, like, they just shift all over the place. So, in the episode with the demon train, she follows a dude who is under hypnosis, watches him go into the train, which is clearly not supposed to be showing up there because it's an abandoned train track, and lets him die. She stands there and lets him die. Then she fights the thing. In the next episode, I thought, well, maybe she doesn't want people knowing her identity. Maybe she wants, you know, to keep things a secret and, you know, not cause, and, or just simply does not give a fuck. But then in the next episode, some fishermen are being attacked by Muscle Zapdos, and suddenly she's jumping in to save them, saying, please run away, get away, oh no, Muscle Zapdos is holding one of them hostage as an advantage, and oh no, one of them actually died. And in the next episode, she actually saves someone and lets them walk away, knowing who she is, after scarring them for life. By she realizes that the eye woman is tracking her because it's got string on her sword, so she just drops her sword and stabs it in the eye with her hand. And then just walks up to the woman, reaches out with the hand that's covered in blood and eye juice, and is like, Are you okay? So, of course, the woman screams and runs away, but... So much for protecting your identity. You're wearing your school uniform, too. Good job there.
Yeah, one thing I want to talk about the school uniform. Why do they have a neck chain?
I don't know.
I've never seen a school uniform that had a neck chain.
I can't think of a reason for a school uniform to have a neck chain. Other than they really want their students to look like douchebags.
Yeah. But there's, yeah, maybe the like the dean of the school is like, oh, dude, neck chains are sick. And they just summoned them up through his own douchiness.
Anyway, so yeah, blood seed. Yeah,
that's actually another weird thing. Why does she always fight in her school uniform?
That is a very good question, to which I do not have an answer.
Like, honestly, you think she'd have like what is it? Like vampire hunter, like monster hunter gear. Like in Blood Plus, it made a bit of sense that she always fought in her school uniform because she didn't know that she was actually supposed to be fighting monsters. She would just like walk home one day, and then she found a sword, and then monsters attacked her.
But in this, Saya is specifically going out to fight monsters. And the other thing is, like, we see her in other clothes. She has a Shrine Maiden's outfit.
Which, you know, not exactly battle-worthy.
No, but she could have battle gear. Fuck, she could have armor and not get hurt as much.
Yeah,
for all the worrying her father does about, oh my god, you got hurt fighting the monsters. Oh, you need to lie in bed and rest. Why don't you give her some fucking armor, jackass?
Why don't you give her some pants?
Pants would help.
You know, there are
monsters in here. Cover those ridiculous legs.
You know, there are monsters in here that rape things. It might be a good idea to not just wear a skirt. A short skirt at that.
So yeah, overall, it's an okay series. There are some parts that make a whole little amount of sense.
Yeah, there are some plot holes and like battle inconsistencies, but it's got some decent animation. Like, Saya herself is... I kind of like her.
Yeah, she is an interesting character for how she's like very aloof, and yet that helps her in combat.
Yeah, there are like multiple instances of her like actually running and then falling and slapping across on her face. Like in the first episode, she's like, it's like, father, just runs, takes two steps and falls flat in her face. And then her dad's is like a woman, it's like a girl shouldn't fall on her face so often. Which prompted me to make a joke. Like, it's like, oh yeah, sweetie, it's not good for a girl to fall on her face so much. Let a man do it.
Or go with the Shakespeare way.
Yeah. Anyway, yes, Blood Plus. Would you recommend it?
Or Blood Sea.
Wait, Blood Sea, sorry. That Blood series we watched, would you recommend it?
Yeah, I would recommend it, because if nothing else, there's some good fight scenes, and sort of seeing the difference between the whole really lighthearted slice of life and then just really quickly transitioning to the dark, bloody battle scenes, I thought was cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend it. It's not going to be the greatest thing you watch, but I think people should watch it.
Okay, I'm going to recommend it too. Like I said, the animation is pretty good. Saya herself is a pretty likable character. The animation at times it can be a bit off. Like what I said, the guy who runs the cafe where his head like shrinks three sizes, but it's still decent enough. So anyway, I'm the one who picks next. So. For the next episode, we're going to be watching Digimon Tamers.
Digimon Tamers?
Digimon Tamers.
Not even just season one of Digimon. You're making us go into season three?
Don't worry. Season three has nothing to do with season one or two.
I know, but it's undoubtedly worse.
I've been watching a bunch of Jesse Otaku recaps of the first three seasons of Digimon, and from everything I've seen, Digimon season 3 is the best.
Okay.
But it's the biggest change in the entire series. It's pretty awesome. And it gets real weird. And kind of creepy at times. So anyway, yeah, we're gonna be watching Digimon Tamers next, but that won't be for a while because we're taking the next little while off. Oh, we're still gonna be posting articles and maybe a video or two every now and then, but no podcasts except for commentaries. Yes, so anyway, we will be returning. We'll officially be getting back into a regular recording schedule, actually a regular release schedule, on January 4th when we release our first commentary track for January's List Watches, and then we'll get back into our regular release schedule after that. So two all weeks right. without podcasts.
What am I going to do with all this time?
I don't know, dude. It's going to be weird not having podcasts to do. I'll probably still end up calling you guys like this at the same recording time usual. It's like, hey guys, how's it going?
It's lonely over here.
Yeah, I'm so lonely. Anyway, thank you all for joining us. Hopefully this wasn't the worst anime podcast we've ever done. Hopefully we don't lose all of you. You know, all of you glorious, glorious, like, five people who stumble across this every night when you're drunk on iTunes. So anyway, like I said, thank you all for joining us. As always, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us at DeathStoreProds. I am at Deadman_DDProds. And we have at Bubbywan and Punchatron, even though he is not here because of exams and stuff. He doesn't have a Twitter account, so he doesn't follow that stuff. Anyway, you can like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/DeathStoreProds. Subscribe to us on YouTube at YouTube.com/DeathStoreProdsVids for myself and YouTube.com/Bubbywan for Bubbywan. Punchatron does not have a YouTube account. And subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a review. Let us know what you want to see more of, less of, etc. So, for the site this week, maybe a video or two over the next couple days, and we're going to be posting the commentary track for Twilight Saga Eclipse this Friday. So sorry we ended the world.
Yep, totally our fault.
Yep. Yes, and then no Anything Cast this Sunday, because, like I said, we're going to be taking the next 2 weeks off. And then we'll also be posting a commentary track for Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1 next Friday. To wrap up Twilight Month, thank God. And then we'll get January and start releasing podcasts as regular. Also, we're not going to be releasing like features like personal issues or aimless wanderings for the next little while because, you know, exams, bill break, and laziness. But anyway, we're going to be having some stuff like we're working on some features to roll out in the new year. So hopefully we'll be able to get all those things worked out and everything, and hopefully you guys will like them. But anyway, thank you all for joining us. So, until January in 2013, I'm the Dead Man.
I'm Bovi1.
We'll see you guys in the new year.